I'm going to now ask Professor Gioia Fasaeli actually to come and join us. Well, she's here already, I mean, to speak to us. I'm so tired, I don't know where I am, yeah. Gioia is a lecturer in Islamic civilizations at the Department of Near and Middle Eastern Studies in Trinity College of Dublin. Gioia has published widely on Islamic feminism, female religious authorities, women's rights in Iran, and human rights and religion. She has also contributed to the Irish Times and the Irish Examiner. Her book, Islamic Feminisms, Rights and Interpretations Across Generations in Iran, was published by Routledge in November 2016. Previously, Gioia worked for Amnesty International, Irish Section, and a number of non-governmental organizations. She has served on the executive boards of the Irish Refugee Council, the UN Women Ireland, the Association for the Study of Persianate Societies, and Amnesty International Irish Section. Gioia is currently on the editorial board of the journal Religions and Human Rights and serves the scholars as risk representative in Trinity College of Dublin. She also serves on the board of director of the Immigrant Council of Ireland. Thank you, Gioia.
Thank you very much for that. Was not expecting you to read all of that out, but I suppose I like to focus my remarks around the representations of Muslims in the media, so very specific. Europe is currently experiencing large-scale migration, and a large number of those arriving now from crisis conditions are coming from Muslim-majority countries. In a political climate that has been polarized by the so-called war on terror, by sectarian violence in Middle Eastern countries, as well as by failures to integrate previous generations of migrants, Muslims in Europe therefore often feel and face negative public perceptions of their cultural and religious identities. And part of this negative perception stems from the way Muslim religious identity is represented in the media. Against this backdrop of violence and war, it's difficult to depict differences across the practice of Islam and diversity amongst Muslims. So often you probably hear a lot about kind of Muslims in the media when there is a crisis, when there is a terrorist attack. You hear about war and violence. And so it's very difficult to depict the diversity within the Muslim communities then when that's the case. So within the Irish context, one of the things that I'm keen to have better represented is the diversity of Muslims living in Ireland. I think a good rule of thumb to keep in mind when approaching this subject is the following. So I have a few notes. And the first is that no one can speak for Islam. Edward Said, in a well-worded response to Samuel Huntington, this is in the 1990s, the author of the essay Clash of Civilization, cautioned against overgeneralizing and essentializing. So both the speakers before me talked about this generalization and essentialization. Today, there are some 1.6 billion or even more estimated by some 2 billion Muslims in the world. And Said then rightly reminded Huntington that these people are scattered through 5 continents, speak dozens of languages, and encompass many traditions and histories. In concluding this line of thought, Said noted the danger of positions, even rhetorical, that would proceed, as if 1 billion people were really just one person, and Western civilization was no more complicated a matter than a simple declarative sentence. So it's this dichotomization of kind of West versus Islam and this language of clash of civilization that comes forth, especially in the media, whether in Ireland or globally, that we have to be mindful of. So there has been a rapid rise in the number of Muslims in Ireland. You're probably very familiar with this, from a few thousands in the 1990s to 60,000 or more presently. I don't know if anyone has read this, the kind of what came out of the census recently. I don't know the numbers. Actually, talking about the senses, talking about kind of essentializing, generalizing. Remember, if you did the senses, that there were the different categories of kind of, you know, within the Christianity, different denominations, and then when it came to Islam, it was just Islam. And I think they said, don't write on the senses. I wrote a huge essay saying, what about the different denominations within Islam? And, you know, what if you consider yourself culturally Muslim? So I don't know if my census was counted or not. So one thing that these numbers don't do is, or even hint at, is the diversity inherent within group of Muslims in Ireland. And this is really important in Ireland because Ireland is very different, and you all know this, sorry for kind of repeating this again and again, Ireland is different. Ireland didn't have the colonial past. Was colonized, but didn't have like the other European countries. So you don't have these, you know, for example, in Germany, that you have the Turks that came after World War II to kind of to rebuild, or with the Pakistanis, for example, or Indian Muslims in England. There is huge diversity of Muslims and Islams in Ireland. And these numbers, they don't really demonstrate that. So they don't help us understand about Sunni or Shia communities, or Sufis, or Asna Asharis, Zaydis, or Ahmadis. They do not tell us about ethnically Irish persons who have converted, or about individuals who are culturally Muslims, but who do not practice the religion in any devotional or formal ways. They do not tell us who identifies with, for example, the Muslim Brotherhood, or who is involved in interfaith efforts. They do not differentiate between Muslims from Nigeria and Muslim from Pakistan, who do not share a common language and may not attend the same mosque or religious gathering place. In fact, these numbers do little to open up to us the rich worlds of difference that are happening within our own communities every day. But good journalism should and can do this. So one example I can give you is, you know, within, I'm originally from Iran, and it's really interesting, actually. A lot of the Iranians I know, they're not religious. They're culturally kind of religious. And their religious practices are very different. So I know these Iranian ladies, friends of my mom, who would, you know, drink alcohol. They would even eat pork. But they have these devotional gatherings. Shia imams kind of the families of the imams. And this is something, you know, people don't know here in Ireland, but they would do this, you know, they want something, so they make kind of a pact. They say, if my daughter, for example, marries a rich man, I'm going to do a sofret. It's called a spread. So then they invite all their friends and they do these prayers, and this sofret is for one of the imams or the imams' relatives. And that's something, you know, it's part of the Shia tradition, but it's part of kind of the Iranian Asna Ashari Shia tradition. But unless you're within the community, you wouldn't know about it. And even, you know, that might not be accepted as proper Islam by other denominations within Muslims in Ireland. So my advice number two, I suppose, is that I also like to talk about what I would call a tendency to other in media representations of Muslims. Traditions are necessarily polyvalent, multivocal, and dynamic. When they're essentialized, whether by intra-group actors or external actors, this often leads to othering practices and to kind of representative cherry-picking. So Muslims have increasingly become the others of Europe. Since the 1990s, immigrants as well as first-generation citizens from Muslim-majority countries have increasingly been identified by the religious marker of Islam, rather than by other ethnic or national identities, for example, Turkish, Pakistani, Persian, Moroccan. This occurs even when while other migrants or immigrants are still identified by their national markers. For example, immigrants from Poland, Colombia, Congo, and Philippines are not bundled together as Catholics, nor Romanians and Ethiopians as Orthodox. So the conflation of Muslim immigrant into one homogeneous group, Muslim, is problematic. And then my third point, finally, in the Irish media, there are many good efforts being made when it comes to the grappling with the complex questions of how to represent Muslims in Ireland. However, the default setting seems still to be a tendency to find one spokesperson, usually spokesman, to speak on behalf of the Muslim community, and this is singular, not communities, or to speak about how Muslim identity is different and other than Irish. Rather than wrestling with how to represent Muslims, I'd suggest that another way to approach this is to invite different Muslims to speak for themselves and write their own stories. So there are good examples of this. This is something, you know, the Immigrant Council had had a conference on this of representations of Muslims in the media. And interestingly, out of that came an article in the Irish Times, which I found problematic. It was an interesting article. It was maybe you read it, Patsy McGarry. It was maybe two months ago. And the first thing I noticed was like, you know, great, there is diversity, there is youth. It's not the same people. And then the next thing, my brother-in-law was sitting beside me, both of us went, all the ladies are wearing the scarves. So three Muslim women, young women wearing the headscarf. So, you know, this is, you know, a part of, and when gender, you know, there's intersectionality here as well. So when gender comes into it and you're hearing, and all of their stories, they were talking about wearing the scarf as well. So it takes away from that and it becomes about the headscarf. And that was quite interesting for me as well. And they were all Sunni Muslims. So they were new voices, which is really, really important. But even within that new voices, it's important to take into account that diversity within Muslim Muslim communities in Ireland. And as I said, the Muslim communities in Ireland is very it's so diverse. It's really much more diverse than in other countries within Europe. And again, it's because the Ireland and the historical context of Ireland as well. And it'd be good to image that within the media, to have some sort of representation of that within the media. So that's it. That's for me. Thank you very much.